The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. It's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon edition of The Dory Monson Show. Glad you're hanging out with us today. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of important stuff. I can't wait. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
I saw a picture this morning. It was a preschool where a bunch of children, 2, 3, 4 years old, they were all sitting on the floor, dead center in the middle of hula hoops that had been set on the floor, carefully spaced apart. The children are learning that they must, at all times, follow and obey government. And I've told you before, I'm very skeptical of government, and being skeptical of government has served me my whole life. I got a vaccine because it made sense for me. I don't think people should get a vaccine because Jay Inslee and the CEOs of Moderna and Pfizer and Johnson tell you you must. You have to make your own decisions on this. But they're getting really coercive. The vaccine passports have arrived here in Washington. And people are dutifully following along. They're even taking their kids in, which doesn't make much sense. But we've been trained well here. We do what we're told. Bring it up full here, Andrew. Let me tell you, the subtitle of this Peter Gabriel song is Milgram 37. We do what we're told. Milgram's 37. Are you familiar with the Milgram experiment? Professor Stanley Milgram was at Yale University back in 1961. And he wanted to see the willingness of people to follow orders, even if it violated their personal morality, their personal thought process. He just wanted to see how obedient people would be to authority. So here's how the Milgram experiment was structured. They found some volunteers to participate, and then they would put a volunteer in a room with an actor. The volunteer didn't know the other person was an actor. The volunteer was told that the other person was another volunteer. And they said, we're going to randomly draw two slips of paper. One of them is going to say, teacher. And the other one is going to say, learner. The teacher was there to teach the learner. And what was the method of teaching the learner? Well, they walked into a room with the volunteer and the actor. And then they gave them two slips of paper, put them in a hat. Each one of you pick one of them. Well, both slips of paper, unbeknownst to the two, said teacher on it to guarantee that the volunteer would be the teacher. The actor was guaranteed to be the learner. And they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to strap the learner in that chair over there. And it looked every bit like an electric chair. Old Sparky. And the teacher, the volunteer who had no idea what they were doing, the teacher was told, you are going to administer increasing voltage shocks to the learner. And the voltage got up to 450 volts, which would kill a person. 300 volts would rock a person's world. And so they told the teachers, the volunteers, to administer a shock to the learner. And so they did. 50 volts. And the actor in the electric chair would... And then the third person in the room was the experimenter, the person in charge of this experiment, they said. And he was wearing a white lab coat. And they said, please continue. Please go on. Amp up the voltage. So they'd go up to 150 volts. And the volunteer would hit the switch. And the actor in the electric chair, stop, I can't handle this. And the experimenter said, the experiment requires that you continue. Now, for these volunteers, whatever was in their morality to not shock another human being was overwhelmed by their desire to comply, their desire to follow orders. They did what they knew was wrong because people follow orders if they are controlled correctly. They went up to 250 volts, hit the switch. Stop! Stop! The actor would scream, I have a heart condition. Please stop. The white lab coat guy goes, it is absolutely essential that you continue. 350 volts, hit the switch. You're killing me! You're killing me! Every single one of the 40 volunteers went up to 350 volts. Every single one of them did. Even though they might have been killing this person in the room with them. But they did it because a guy in a white lab coat told them, you must continue. But here's the shocking part. The maximum was 450 volts in Milgram's experiment. All 40 volunteers did what they thought. Now, there was no voltage. There was no electricity. There was no nothing. It was a box and an actor. But all 40 were willing to administer a 350-degree shock to another human being. And at 350 degrees, 14 of them said, no, I'm not going to go on. But 26 of the 40, because the guy in the white lab coat told them, the fourth level of instruction, you have no other choice. You must go on. And 26 of the 40 volunteers flipped the switch to what they thought was a 450-volt shock. And the actor in the electric chair flipped violently about. So what does all of this mean? Well, it means that just like Professor Milgram at Yale University, who discovered that people have a bizarre desire to follow orders, even if it violates their own mentality, even if it violates their own morality. People have a bias to do what they're told. Now, as I said, I made my own determination to get the vaccine. My wife's been vaccinated. Two of my three daughters are vaccinated. Third is not. Doesn't bother me in the slightest. She's young. She's healthy. She'll be fine, even if she gets COVID. If the five of us wanted to go together to a Mariners baseball game now, we wouldn't be able to because one of my kids has not complied. She hasn't done what she was told to do by Jay Inslee and the CEOs of Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. We do what we're told. It's not a way to live your life. Make your own decisions. Don't let Jay Inslee make your decisions for you. Because like I said, Jay Inslee's not that smart. You're probably smarter about your own life, and you care a heck of a lot more about your own life than Jay Inslee does. Somebody who warned us that these vaccine passports are coming is State Representative Jim Walsh, who joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Representative, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Dory, it's always good to talk to you. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm okay, but I'm only okay because I'm bothered by the fact that everybody seems to just be falling in line. If you had asked America 2 years ago, Representative, if they trusted pharmaceutical companies, they would say no. It's one of the least trusted industries there is. Do you trust politicians? No. No offense to you. One of the least trusted professions there is. And like I said, I made my own mind about the vaccine. I got it. I'm very worried about how coercive it is when politicians and CEOs of pharmaceutical companies collude to try to make everybody do something that is against some of those people's will. You warned about these vaccine passports. What's your take on what's going on right now?
Well, first of all, you're exactly right. Every person needs to do what's right for them. And no judgment, whether you get the vaccine or you don't, you have to make an informed choice for yourself and your circumstances and your family about what works best. And there's no right decision. Every decision is particular to an individual and their family unit and
yes,
how they think about their community. That's fine. No judgment one way or the other. What we've got in Olympia, really, Dory, what it gets down to is the legislature screwed up in the past session when we had the chance to assert the usual checks and balances that are written into the Constitution of the state and the nation to be a check and balance on the executive branch. We screwed up by not taking the opportunity to reassert our role as a co-equal branch with the executive and put some limits on what the governor can do. We didn't do that. We screwed up. And now the governor feels he has a free rein to do whatever the heck he wants. And this, the latest, which are these, it's two guidances that he put out, one that applies to basically sports venues, public event venues, like you're saying, like a baseball game. The other applies to churches. And they basically say the same thing. They set up what lawyers would call de jure segregation. That is
right.
Official, government-sponsored, government-sanctioned segregation. And this is outrageous. I mean, this, you're right. A couple of years ago, I don't think Washingtonians would have stood for this kind of thing. I don't think the governor would have dared do this. But here we are. And because of the fear-mongering around this serious virus, but there's been fear-mongering. And more importantly, more directly, because of the failure of the legislature to assert a co-equal role in government with the governor,
yes,
with the executive, he now feels he can do whatever the heck he wants. And that is a failure of the Constitution.
Were the emergency powers that are assigned to the governor's office, were they ever designed for something that would last 14 months with no end in sight?
Absolutely not. The emergency powers were designed for a catastrophe, a natural disaster, a tsunami, an earthquake. I'll even toss in a bad wildfire. And it's meant to assure the continuity of government during a time of a massive natural disaster, and really the continuity of government, the ability for the executive to act decisively to make sure that government can continue to function. This is the authors of the numerous, and the trouble is, Dory, we talked about this before, no one bill really put this in place. It was a series of bills, a series of pieces of legislation over a number of years. And no one who was sponsoring those expected it to last like this. They expected that the emergency powers would be used for 15 days, a couple of weeks, maybe
right.
30 days.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it.
But not
so,
like this.
So now we have a situation with a governor with you know, not to use hyperbole, but we have a governor now who has dictatorial powers. And the way we're seeing this play out, Representative, is Pierce County, I'm going to talk with the mayor of Lakewood in just a few minutes. He's livid at Jay Inslee. Pierce County hit a certain negative metric a few weeks ago and got rolled back to phase two. King County,
of course,
hit the exact same negative metric, and Jay Inslee arbitrarily says, but we're not going to roll back King County. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. You cannot make an argument that decisions are being made for the health of the state when things are that capricious and arbitrary.
Agreed. And he did it again just recently when he decided to punt for 2 weeks before making any other decision. And again, it's because using his own metrics, it looked like King and Snohomish were going to have to be rolled back. And so rather than do that, he scrambled the eggs again and changed the goalposts again and changed the rules again. There is no science. There is no consistent data being used by this governor. The metrics change on a whim. And this is not constitutional governance, Dory.
Well, I that's what I wanted to ask. I only have about 30 seconds left, but you have a restaurant in Pierce County, a restaurant in King County. They have different rules imposed by government right now, even though the health conditions are identical in the two counties. How in the world does that survive a test of the 14th Amendment of our Constitution, which says that you get equal protection under the law?
And Article 1, Section 12 of our state constitution, which is the analog in the state constitution, which says even more clearly you have to treat all sides equal.
Yeah. That's why I say these are scary times, and I think more people should recognize that, and this is not about anti-vax or anything like that, because I'm vaccinated. This is about when government starts ignoring the Constitution and the people are comfortable with that. I think that's very scary, so I'll keep sounding the alarm. Representative Jim Walsh, I really appreciate it. Always good to talk to you, sir.
It is, Dory. They're waking up, Dory. They're waking up.
I know it, and I'm doing my best to ring the alarm clock. All right, State Representative Jim Walsh joining us live here on the Dory Monson Show. I would like to know what you think about all of this. Text me at 98973. I just think that we have been very slowly, carefully groomed, conditioned, with the mask wearing, with even outside. Now they say our kids can't go to summer camp without a mask and a vaccine. We're going to start injecting 12-year-olds. Parents, you okay with that? You just going to do what you're told? Talk to the mayor of Lakewood coming up next as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Yesterday, Jay Inslee announced he was going to pause the rollback of King and several other counties. And I was very critical of the governor because it seems like all the decisions they're making have nothing to do with public health, have nothing to do with data for the data daddy, and they have everything to do with just being arbitrary. And one thing I said was, wait a second, Pierce County failed to meet metrics a few weeks ago. He rolled back Pierce County. King County failed to meet the same metrics, and he did not roll back King County. How is that fair? And I'm not the only person asking that question. Don Anderson is the mayor of Lakewood in Pierce County, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Mr. Mayor, good to talk to you today.
Good to talk to you, Dory.
Okay, so you sent a letter to the News Tribune and the Seattle Times. You also shared it with me, and you sound like you're ticked off.
Well, I think the word that immediately came to mind was incredulous when we heard the governor's statement. Everyone expected a rollback. King County is exactly the same place that Pierce County was 3 weeks ago with respect to a 6.5 per thousand hospitalization and a COVID new case rate that was essentially identical.
Yeah.
And yet the science turns into political science. King County isn't rolled back. We're kind of the redheaded stepchild down here. And maybe it's our voting record.
Well, that was my theory. And I said that on the show yesterday, Don, that Pierce County's a little more conservative than King County. And if that is the reason why, you know, Pierce County didn't vote for Sound Transit, and Pierce County doesn't just always march in orders with what Olympia and the Seattle elites say you must do. And if that's truly the case, Mr. Mayor, as I suspect and as you just suggested, then things are really falling apart. If businesses are getting destroyed because of a county's voting record, do you really believe that's what's going on here?
Well, I won't go so far as to say that it's punitive, but it certainly others get more consideration when harm is going to befall them. And those others are essentially King County and Seattle.
So you're telling me it's not punitive toward Pierce County, but rewarding.
It's more favoritism than punitive.
Okay, just rewarding King County for falling in line with everything they want. So what does this mean? And what have you been hearing from the business owners in Lakewood, especially the people, you know, the restaurants, the gyms, the, you know, fitness centers, all of that? What are you hearing from these people who they need to be able to have a business plan and they need to be able to make accurate projections?
They're hurting. They're hurting, Dory. And that, you know, the rollback hurts them more. You can't, you know, you adapt and then the rules change. You adapt and then the goalpost moves again. I think we need to get back to the ugliness of a representative democracy instead of one person rule. I encourage everyone to get vaccinated. I think we need to be careful when we're indoors and around other people. You know, those are good things. Those are science-based things. But here, the political nature of this ruins the credibility of public health initiatives. And it's actually harmful. So it's time to say this emergency is a semi-permanent state. We're going to address it as a representative democracy and not as one person rule.
Well, let me share with my listeners what you wrote to me. You said, after 14 months of obfuscated, ever-changing proclamations, it is well past time to end arbitrary emergency dictates that sway with the political wind and favor those who favor the ruler. Our forebears rejected one-man rule for good reason, and now we are witnesses to their wisdom. So we are just under the arbitrary, subjective rule of Jay Inslee right now instead of being a representative democracy? Is that what you're telling me?
I think the proof is in the ever-changing mandates.
Yeah.
And the legislature abdicated its authority when it had an opportunity to put some limits on it, or, you know, at least endorse certain practices. Let it go under a statute that was never meant for a continuing state of affairs. You know, the emergency powers were meant for earthquakes, fires, floods. They weren't meant for a two-year-long process.
So what do you think the motivation is? Because I have a lot of people who believe Jay Inslee is well-intentioned. I thought that at the beginning, and by the beginning, I'm talking about, you know, more than a year ago. I thought he was well-intentioned. But yesterday at his press conference, people asked him about the changing mandates for businesses, and his response was so snide and condescending. Is this just, you know, I don't know how else to put it. Is this just a gigantic ego trip that doesn't have anything to do with public health?
I will give the governor the benefit of the doubt. I'm sure he wants people to be healthy. I'm sure he initiated his programs with the best of intentions. But as the old saying goes, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I think...
Well, wait a second. At first, you said you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, and then you just now suggested that he's horribly corrupted. Those sound like they're a little bit in conflict with each other.
No, there's a timeline in that. I said when he started out.
Okay, I got it. All right.
By this point, in that position of power, I think many individuals will think that they know best. But our society is built on making collective decisions, not a monarchy.
You know what scares me, Mr. Mayor, just in wrapping this up? I saw a picture this morning of a preschool, and all of these little kids, 2, 3, 4 years old, they were all sitting on the floor inside of a hula hoop that had been placed 6 feet apart from each other. And I was thinking, these poor children, these minds are as malleable as they'll ever be. And I'm thinking, these children, they're going to be real easy for government to control when they get to be adults, because they have been trained like seals at their most impressionable age. And that's the other thing that scares me, is that we're going to lose the freedom of making your own thought and decision making, and that's part of the motivation here, is that we just want these little robots to come out of this wearing masks and sitting in hula hoops and playing band instruments inside of gigantic baggies. And I'm really scared what we're doing to our kids with all this.
Well, I share your concern. When I hear kind of an increasing segment of the population come back with comments like, how dare you question authority? We're built on questioning authority. I think, you know, the First Amendment is nearest and dearest to me. When we hold public comment in our city, there's some people that are hypercritical. Sometimes people get cut off in some jurisdictions, but the First Amendment is about standing in the public square and saying the king is an idiot. And you have the right to be wrong. And I share your concern that this situation is inadvertently training people up to follow mandates without question. That in the long term can be much more harmful than the pandemic itself.
Amen. And it also should be a reminder, and instead we're running in the opposite direction. When you talk about the authority, we're the authority. The citizens are the authority. You know, guys like you and Jay Inslee technically work for us, and we have completely flipped upside down what our relationship between the people and the government should be.
Hear, hear.
All right. Don, I can't tell you how much I appreciate and respect hearing from a person in a position like yours to call out the governor like this. And I'm really glad you reached out to me. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me on, Dory, and keep up your good work.
Always a pleasure. I always love talking with you. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Don Anderson, he is the mayor of Lakewood in Pierce County. Love to hear what you think about what you just heard. You can text us at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here in the Dory Monson Show. A couple of decades ago, and even into much more recent times, for many, many years, there has been disparate justice between whites and blacks in our courts. Kamala Harris, by the way, did as much to jail black men in California when she was AG. She did as much as anybody to jail black men. But, it goes back to powder versus crack cocaine. Powder cocaine was tended to be used by the white yuppies of the 80s, 90s. And crack cocaine tended to be more in the inner cities. And the punishment for crack cocaine was much more severe. And that was horrible. And it was wrong. And shouldn't have been treated so horribly different. And that's a recent example of racism in our justice system. Tides have turned. As we get these prosecutors and others who believe in resistance in a robe, judges and prosecutors who just want to get as many criminals on the street as possible. Do you remember those two girls, 15 and 13 years old, African-American girls, a few weeks ago? They carjacked an Uber Eats driver, and it was all caught on
video. What's going on?
Hold on. They're trying to steal a car.
This is my car. They're
trying to steal a car.
So with the Uber Eats driver holding on in an open car door, standing on the side of the car, the girls take off down the street.
This is my car.
Stop it!
She's stealing their car.
She's stealing the car.
Yeah, he called the cop. Call the cop. Call the cop.
It sounds like a sound effect. It's so vivid of the squealing tires and the crash. And the guy who's recording this runs a block to where the crash happened. And you see the driver had been thrown off the car into the wall of a building and is laying on the sidewalk, crumpled and dead. And as for the girls, they tried to get away.
They stole the car.
But then one of the girls, see if you can hear what she says here.
Hey, they stole the car. They stole the car. These girls.
There's a guy lying dead on the sidewalk that she just killed, and she comes back to the car that's on his side. My phone is in there. All she cared, she didn't care about the human life she had just taken. All she cared about was that her phone was still in the crashed car. Well, the prosecutor in Washington, D.C., for quite obviously political reasons, charged, the 13-year-old would have been tough to charge as an adult. The 15-year-old who killed a man could have easily been charged as an adult. But the prosecutor in Washington, D.C., for purely political reasons, charged the 15-year-old as a juvenile. They are getting a slap on the wrist for killing a man, an immigrant to this country, trying to provide for his family, doing Uber Eats. Meanwhile, down in Florida, a 17-year-old girl who happens to be white, Emily Rose Grover, she and her mom were arrested for hacking student accounts and casting 250 bogus votes for Emily for school homecoming queen. The prosecutor down in Escambia County, Florida, just confirmed that the girl who rigged a homecoming election will be tried as an adult. So in other words, the kids who murdered a man, juveniles. You rig a homecoming election, charged as an adult. Yeah, there's still disparity in our courts. Just running the other way all of a sudden. Okay, check the news and then Fastest 15 coming up next.